It's interesting how life takes you in different places you never dreamed you would go. And for me, a few weeks ago, it was a beginning of an experience I never dreamed I'd ever have. I never thought I'd end up in Africa. I never thought I would go, even with our team. But it just felt like such a clear impression to go. And I can remember so vividly the experience because there were some moments that stood out to me. And as I think about that, I begin to think about how faithful our members of our fellowship have been to go into Africa and to minister and to love and to give medicine to those who were in need, and to see how God uses every person to accomplish his mission. Because the truth is, his mission is not centered on us, it's centered on him. Because when I understand who he is, what happened? I begin to reflect what it is that he wants to do inside of me, and my mission becomes clear. The mandate comes from God, and I end up experiencing everything that he intended. Well, as you can imagine, getting to Tanzania after a long travel, but then realizing how many mosquitoes are there, and one of our members who works CDC said, don't you get malaria no matter what, you know, and so I'm rubbing all this stuff on me to protect me from everything, and I'd never slept in a mosquito net before, and it's like you're in a tomb, because the net falls down, and it's all around you, and you feel like you're being enclosed, and I began to think, wow, this is interesting, all this experience, but the truth of the matter is, it wasn't the travel, it wasn't the mosquitoes or the mosquito nets. It was the experience of watching God at work in his profound and amazing way. And between pastors that we had a chance to minister to and between being in some of the orphanages I had the privilege of being able to walk into, there were some poignant moments for me. One of the first was when a little girl walked up to me, put her arms up to me and asked me to pick her up and fell asleep in my arms. And I can remember thinking, this is what Jesus would have us do. To meet someone, to accomplish our mission, to experience what God intended. Well, then we moved on to another orphanage. And the pastor who runs this orphanage runs it all by faith. It's not like he has funding mechanism. And I tell you something, it made me proud of One Heart Church when I walked into the first orphanage, that when you look at all the list of all those who are on their honor roll of those who have helped, one American church, One Heart Church on that board. And I thought, what a testimony to who we are and to our people and to our desire to make a difference. And so we went into the second orphanage, and the pastor was sharing the vision. And it's interesting. You can't imagine how much they sacrificed to make something happen, because they had built a brand new kitchen. They trusted God for the kitchen. And in that kitchen was one little cook stove like you take camping. It's all they had to cook and prepare. And I thought, what I admired what they did to feed these children. And then the pastor, I said, I want you to tell me the story, which really fits in what we're looking at today, because today we look at what happens when you step up to your mission. Now, you may be sitting there going, I'm not sure what my mission is. But when you step up into it, you begin to discover something. I want you to get very clear regarding what happens to Paul, because Paul knew something. He knew that there were lots of tears and difficulty coming his way. He understood there was heartache coming his way. He understood that when he went to Jerusalem, it was not going to be a good story. It was not going to read well. But what happened was, he knew something. He knew that if he stayed on mission, that God would do something inside of him. And what I want you to think about today is that God always takes us places he wants us to go in order to accomplish what only he can do through each one of us. And so it's not really the location, by the way. And the truth of the matter is, this message today is not about Tanzania. This message is about Atlanta, Georgia, where we live, what we're about. Because the truth is, there may be a few days somewhere in the world, but there's every day here. Every day God's called us to live out our mission and to experience what he intended and to experience who he is. And so today, as you think about that, I want you to get in your mind, what happens if I discover his mission for me? What happens if I discover what it is he wants to do through me? Well, we found ourselves, I mentioned to you in a second orphanage, and I began to talk to the pastor who led the orphanage, and they were drilling for water to have a water supply for the children. And he began to share a little bit about his testimony, a little bit about how he believed God and how he was on mission to accomplish God's purpose. And it's interesting what he said. He said two very distinctive things. He said, because one of my goals, he said, is to build a school here so the kids can be educated, so they can be equipped to be able to be effective and successful in life. But then it's interesting what he said. He said, two things that stood out to me that I hope you'll take home with you. Number one is, God has never disappointed us once. Now think about that. God has never disappointed us once. What would happen if we took what appeared as disappointment and entrusted it to God and he gave it back to us as direction? What would happen if we took what overwhelms us at times and he gave it back to us as an opportunity for obedience? What would happen if all of a sudden we began to experience him in a way we never dreamed possible? And he became everything to us. He's never disappointed us once. And it's interesting, this second statement. And I loved it because it is so profound in my mind. He said, we had a guy out here yesterday to measure for the school. And he said, we don't have any money at all. But he's made this statement. And I'm sure for some sitting there, Vern, Ron, others were sitting there. He made this statement. When we got the measurements, we took all the measurements to God. I want you to think about that for a moment. What do we do when we face something? Do we take all those measurements to God? In other words, think about this. What if you measured your obedience? What if you measured your opportunity? What if you measured the season of life God's given you now? What if you just took everything that seemed to steal away your hope and direction, seemed to steal away what it is you seem to be trying to do, and all of a sudden you start measuring it a different way? I mean, when you start measuring it, something begins to happen inside of you. I want you to imagine for a moment that today you begin to measure things. And I'm not talking about building. I'm talking about life. And you start measuring, you go, okay, what does this mean? What is it God wants to do through me? And watch this carefully. When you're obedient, he'll take you a mile. When you're disobedient, you'll walk back an inch. And you'll miss the best that God has for you. And so today, as you think about that, I was getting ready to leave that orphanage, and I want to set in motion what we're going to look at today, because in Acts chapter 20, if you have your Bible, turn there, because in Acts chapter 20, it's here that Paul calls together the elders from Ephesus. And he knows he's not going to be in Ephesus, but he wants to say some things to them. He wants to echo something that will grab hold of him. And today, I want you to go out of church going, you know what? He's never disappointed me. He's never disappointed me. I can trust him no matter what. And as a result of that, I want to measure my life the way God intended. You see, for some of you, you've never taken a ruler out of obedience and measured anything. He's never struck you as being, hey, what do I measure? What do I calculate? And all of a sudden you start saying, you know, wait a minute, I'm going to measure out what God has for me. And you take that ruler and you look at the rule of his word in your heart, the rule of his spirit guiding you, and something begins to happen. So I'm getting ready to leave with our group from the orphanage, and I had a bottle of water in my hand because it was hot there. I was thirsty. And there were several little children. One little child walked up to me and grabbed my bottle right out of my hand and just smiled. And it hit me. They don't have the water to drink like we do. And so I went and we had some water in the back of the vehicle I was riding in. I went and gave every one of them a bottle of water. And I kept thinking about that verse. Even if you give just a cup of cold water in my name, you could change the world. I want you to think about this for a second. How many people in our city just need a cup of cold water? Just a cup of encouragement. Just to know that, hey, there's a drink that you can drink from, this fountain that changes who you are, that shapes your life forever. Today, as you think about your own journey of faith, I want you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 20. I want you to begin to think about something. Because in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 25, he is setting in motion one key question that you and I must get in our minds and hearts. And it's this: how far would you go if he called you? Because the truth of the matter is, watch this, anything short of your mission would lead you to be frustrated, overwhelmed, challenged. So how far would you go? Would you be willing to go? And by the way, I am not talking about geographical location. I'm talking about personal commitment. Because the truth of the matter is, listen carefully, all of us can't go in different points of the world every single day. It's not possible. But what we can do is we can choose to live a life that is directly linked to our mission. Because our mission is not just linked to going into other places. Our mission is linked to us becoming who he wants us to be. Because when we get there, then we ask ourselves, how far would I go? How far would I walk? Would I be willing to take the next step? And what I want you to see today is Paul is setting in motion for the elders at Ephesus an understanding that if they get a hold of what it is he's taught them, then their lives will be profoundly affected. But he's warning them too, because he's saying to them, there are going to be some come behind you who will try to steal away who you are, steal away your mission, steal away your purpose, steal away your focus, steal away your heart. I want you to imagine for today, all of us at times have things come at us that we don't understand, that we don't grasp. And in the midst of all that, that's when you come back to Mission Central. That's when you come back to, okay, Lord, you designed me to accomplish this, and I trust you in it. And so today, as you think about that, look at it, if you would, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 25, excuse me. Acts 20, 25. And now, behold, I know that all of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and think about this for a second. Here's what Paul says. My mission was to declare the kingdom, and I did not miss my assignment. I accomplished what he intended because I did not shrink back. And listen, that phrase, shrink back, has to do with withdrawing, watch this, withdrawing from what you could experience in life. Now we're saying, you know what, not today, maybe tomorrow, no, not next week, maybe next year, and all of a sudden we pull back from it. We pull back. I was talking to someone recently who at one point, watch this, had a fire burning to accomplish what God intended. But then circumstances and situations, issues, challenges, all began to redirect that heart. And as a result, out of utter frustration, the person was thinking, man, I missed my mission. I missed my moment. And so for Paul, he used this phrase, I did not shrink back. Look on with me. Let's look on some other verses. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. And you ought to underline whole purpose, because what he's saying here is, if you don't get his whole purpose, then you may not get it at all. And you got to make sure you understand that he has a whole purpose for each one of our lives. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Verse 31. I came back with a tickled throat. Very good juice. Thank you, Glenda. Inspire my throat to move forward. Look on, verse 31. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. Excuse me a few times, because I intend to get this message out. It is my mission, all right? So I may choke a few times before I get done, but I want to make sure I get it across, all right? And so it's interesting because he says two words very key, alert and admonish. Alert and admonish. Look at that verse, because what he's saying here is, if you're not attentive, watch this, if you're not alert, you may miss what I have for you. So be on the alert because some adversaries, some things are going to come at you. And listen, we live in a day where our culture is inundated with ideas and thoughts, many of which don't align with God's word at all. So you have to be careful not to heed what makes you look good or feel good, but instead heed what helps you obey him. Big difference, all right? So look at this and think about this, because what he's saying to him, you've got to be warned. You've got to be careful about what God has for you. In a moment, we'll pick up the last part of this text. But I want you to think about this. What happens when all of a sudden we get mission on mission and we start saying, what does being on mission demand? The first thing it demands is the kingdom focus. Because you'll notice what Paul says here. He said, it's not about me coming by and making you feel better about who you are. He said, my mission was to declare the kingdom of God. And isn't it interesting in Matthew 6, verse 33, where that whole text is talking about what happens when we get all anxious, we start worrying. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So watch this carefully. You want to knock out anxiety? You want to knock out fear? You want to knock out uncertainty? You want to knock out pain? Focus in on him. Seek him first and his kingdom, and it opens up your eyes to be able to experience what he intended. Second thing is, it takes spiritual alertness. You have to be spiritually alert. You got to go, wait a minute now. I got to make sure I don't miss my moment, might miss my opportunity. And yesterday, very interesting, Charlie and I were flying back from Europe, got on a plane on time after going through several security procedures, and got on a plane. We get right to the edge of the runway, right at the edge of the runway, and the captain comes on and says, we have a problem. Something's wrong with our fuel distribution, which pushes the fuel in the plane. Well, my first thought was, isn't it interesting how alert some people are? Because the plane was moving. It wasn't like it didn't have fuel. And it's interesting what that guy said, the captain said. He said, now, it may take us a little while, it may take us only a few minutes, but we're going to fix this before we go. And I thought to myself, exactly what we're looking at today. Paul wanted to fix things before he left. He wanted to fix things and set things in motion. What would happen if all of a sudden we got so alert that we didn't miss anything? And it's interesting, after that, all that equipment challenge, and we got in the air, he came on one more time. He said, I realize for some of you, you got to connect to another flight. And I give you this assurance. I'll get you there as quick as possible. We'll make up some of this time. And I'm going to tell you what I sit there listening to him, and I thought to myself, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does to us when we get behind. He looks inside of our hearts, and he says to us, don't worry. We'll make up this time because you're going to draw close to me. You're going to experience me. What would happen if all of us just got more spiritually alert? Third thing, the mission demand is that we have a chance to be able to look inside of our own hearts and learn how to guard against adversaries that come at us. Now, this is a key concept because I'm going to tell you what you discover. To whom much is given, much is required. If you have something coming at you, it's there to show you that he wants to use you. And if you're here today and you're trying to process what does he want to do through you and you're facing great adversarial issues, listen carefully. When you align with his church and you open your heart up to his purpose for your life and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, what happens to you? Adversaries may come at you, but the adversaries don't get the best of you. They don't steal away what it is that God intends to do in and through you. Because here's what happened. Watch this carefully. Adversaries are affirmation of your opportunity. When the adversary comes at you, what's coming? It's coming there to try to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, it's coming to take away what it is that God intends to do, but he can't do it because greater is he's in you than he's in the world. He's the one who said, I'll give you life and give it to you abundantly. In other words, he intended for us to be very careful to guard against adversary. And watch this carefully. If you drop your guard, you're going to lose. But if you keep your guard up, you will win. One final thing that I want you to look at this text very carefully, because I want you to think about that. You're in church, and you're beginning to think about, wait a minute, what is his big mission for me? What door does he open for me to accomplish more of what he intended? Because watch this carefully. None of us are exempt from mission. We have to step into our mission. We have to experience what it is God intends. And one final quality I want to point out to you, and it has to do with what Paul's dealing with here, because he brings them back to the center core of all mission, and that is biblical commitment. In other words, when I understand that I'm committed to what God's word says, let me tell you what it does. It takes away so many things that come at us because his promises will begin to bless us. His promises will begin to direct us. We'll begin to hear him speak with clarity. We'll begin to see the Bible come alive to us. We'll see the Bible not as decoration on a table, but as a testimony of our lives, as a testimony of our hearts. Because when we get inside of this book, things begin to happen. I'm going to tell you what Paul, I want you to imagine for a moment. Paul is writing his own obit. His obituary is being written because he knows something. He is not going to get a chance to see them again. He's not going to get a chance to encourage them again. But what he says to them is, you know what? I have taught you what it means to follow the kingdom of God, to center your heart in his word. So let's think about it for a moment. As we think about being in his house on this day, there are certain principles that have to be accomplished in order for a mission to be accomplished. And Paul lays those out as he is testifying here in the book of Acts. So let's get these principles and let's see if we can't let them guide us towards what it is he wants us to have in our hearts and life. The first one is very simple. We have to learn how to guard our hearts and guide the flock. Now, why is he saying this to the elders? Because if you know how to guide someone a particular way, what happened to you? Your heart opens up, you start feeling more protected. And what you see in verse 28 there is he talks about be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. In other words, you've got to have a sensitivity to guard in order to experience what God intends. You got to guard yourself. And I want to tell you, when you think about that, one of the more intriguing things to me in Africa was how much security is required to get anything done, because there's lots of challenges there. And the first time we stopped to eat a meal, I looked for our little guy who's driving around. I said, where is he? He said, oh, he's in the car. If we leave your stuff in the car, you won't have your stuff. And it'll be gone. And I'm sitting there going, Wow, what an illustration of what God says to us to be on guard for our own lives. Because watch this carefully. If you drop your guard, you lose the very thing he wanted to do in you. You lose the very thing he wanted to accomplish through you. And you start dropping that guard and you say, you know what? I'm not going to experience what he intended. And what he says here is you guard yourself. You guard yourself, and what you do is you start guiding people. Because interesting, when someone tells you this is where you're supposed to go, you immediately grasp, hey, you know what? I need to make sure I have the right map. And watch this carefully. There's only one map that gets you where God wants you to go. And you hold it in your hand. Because when you get God's word inside of you, what happened? It starts guiding you. He takes care of everything you're facing. And your heart gets on fire for him. And listen carefully. Paul's heart was on fire even though he knew his time was short. And when you learn how to put yourself on guard, you start prioritizing your relationship with God so that others, when they see you, when they see what's going on inside of you, they see your heart because your heart's fixed on him. And because watch this, when my heart is stayed on God, in other words, when he is everything, people see that. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we all have fallacies. We all have aspects of us that we say, you know, I don't know how to do all these different things. But watch this carefully. When you prioritize your relationship to him and you let him become your story, what happens to your story? It becomes so much more amazing. And then people see that. See that. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most gripping moments for me in the entire time in Tanzania, for me, was I was out and about shaking hands. And it's neat how they shake hands, because it's kind of the gesture of how they communicate love is powerful. But I was out walking around, and I wanted to help dip the food, to help the people who all were there. And so I was in this line dipping food. And it's interesting, because if they want more, they don't move their plate. I mean, so you dip a little bit more on that plate. And the first thing I noticed was they don't use any forks or spoons. I mean, they do nothing but those amazing hands that God's given them. And so I got to studying people who could eat without a fork. Now, my grandbabies have done that for several years, but I've never seen many adults do it. And they would take their hand. It's like a piece of artwork. They would take their hand, and they would sweep down, and whoom. And I'm like, how'd they do that? How did they take rice and beans and a bone and create that? But they did it. Well, when I finished that, which was an intriguing experience to say the least, it's so admirable. Let me just say this to you. I love those people, and I love what I experienced. But one of the most moving moments was I was done feeding in that line, helping, and a lady, a little widow, came, and she fell at my feet like this, and she began to wipe my shoes off. And I can tell you, I was so overwhelmed with the emotion of somebody loving me that much that they wanted to make sure that my shoes weren't dirty for my next sermon. And I kept trying to pick her up off that ground. But then she took that African garb she had on. She began to wipe around my feet. And you know what I realized? She had so prioritized her relationship with God that she wanted to honor whoever she encountered. And I can still see that widow's eyes looking up into my heart. And what I want you to see today is that Paul had some men at Ephesus that wiped his feet and blessed his heart. And you and I need to be careful to guard against the adversary and make sure that we experience what he intends as we walk with him. Second principle, look on verse 29. First one, guard your heart and guide the flock. Second, live with awareness, deal with adversaries. All right, look what he says here. Because he says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And they will come in verse 30, among your own selves. You'll notice what happened to them. Men will arise, speaking perverse things. Which, by the way, the word perverse there has to do with distorting something from what its original intent was. All right, so they distort things, and they make things perverse. And then look on, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that day and that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. It's interesting, because what he does here is he reminds them of the voice they have heard. And because the truth of the matter is, if a voice is not anchored in Jesus, it leads to destruction. So you got to always listen to him first. Because what happens here is he tells them, you are going to have some people come your way that do not believe like you believe, who do not adhere to what you adhere to, who their voice sounds eloquent, but their voice is destructive. And when you hear that voice, be careful not to allow it to guide you, not to allow it to pervert, watch this, to distort away what he intended to do. So imagine for a moment, you begin to think about your mission. You go, wait a minute, my mission is, and you begin to think, wait a minute, I know. He has called me to accomplish a specific thing. He wants to use me in a particular way. He wants to empower me to experience who he is. And all of a sudden, you begin to go, wow, you know what? I get it. I've got what it is he's doing inside of me. Because what he wants to do is he wants to cause me to look at myself through his eyes. And what Paul was saying was, if you don't look at it through his eyes, what happens? The adversary is coming at you nonstop. And watch this carefully. If you never have any adversarial moments, you have to look inside of your own heart. Because here's what it says. It says that you're not on mission. And what happens with Paul is, he says, you know what? You got to be on mission. You got to make sure that you grab hold of it to experience what I intend. And because he keeps using this phrase, shrink back. We saw it last week as well, or 2 weeks ago. And the idea was, if I just take one step back, life will be easier. If I just take one step where I don't have to get up and do so much in his word. I don't have to do so much about ministering to someone. I don't have to do so much about listening to what he has for me. And what happens is it's a trick because it makes us think, well, if I just step back one thing and somebody else is stepping forward. What if you are the point person for his amazing opportunity to accomplish his will in this generation? And what you do is you go, you know, I'm stepping forward. I'm stepping into my mission. I'm not walking away from my mission. Imagine what would happen to you if you all of a sudden go, you know what? Nothing coming at me will prosper because this is the heritage, the inheritance of the children of God. I'll tell you what happened. You start thinking, you know, I can be bolder. I can be more pronounced in what I'm trying to accomplish. And I'm going to tell you, one of my great blessings was to listen to Madison and Ron as they testified to who God is, how he works, what scripture spoke to their heart while we're there in Tanzania. Their testimonies were vivid and powerful and distinctive, and the people were mesmerized because here's two people who are not preachers who are testifying to what happens when you walk with God, what happens when you stay inside of his word, what happens when you're energized by who he is, what happens when you take your mission and live it. And what I want you to think about today is if you can get to the place where all of a sudden you keep staying very aware, and it has to do with just the sensitivity to see your opportunity, because when you get sensitive, he begins to work. Third thing I want you to see, look on. Verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified by God. Now think about this for a second. Look at there, because he says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. All right, so what is he getting across here? He's getting across to us that as we learn how to commit our hearts to study and we live in prayer, something begins to happen inside of us. In other words, if we just say, you know what, I want to live this out, and I want to seek his face and hear him speak, and watch this carefully. If you seek him, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart. And what does passionate prayer do? It yields you away from your desires to surrender to his desires. And what Paul does here is he talks about this whole idea of how grace and God's word works. All right? Because he says, I put something in you that's connected, linked, not directly linked to me, but directly linked to the grace of God. Because his unmerited favor, when it gets a hold of our hearts, it changes us. I'm going to tell you, when grace becomes our story reads much better. And that's what he's trying to say. I built you up into this. And so you commit yourself to study and live inside of prayer. And then all of a sudden you start going, wait a minute now. If I build my life on grace and God's word, it will do something for me. It will solidify his mission forever. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. When you encounter the amazing grace of God, and when you allow his word to speak to you, it sets in motion exactly what he wants to do through you. Because when you get there, what's happening? You begin to see, you know what? This is really not about me. I mean, I tell you, you speak Swahili a couple times, you realize it's not about you. It's all about the translator. because the translator has to grab it. And we had this animated translator while we were there. I mean, animated. And I began to realize that as animated as I am, I look like a stone wall compared to him. And as we were going through those services, I began to realize something. Sometimes we freeze up. We freeze up when it comes to our mission. And all we need, watch this, is an interpreter to fire us up. And that's what the grace of God does, and it's what God's word does. Now, you live like that, and things begin to change about your whole story and about your whole life. One final principle, and we're finished. And I want you to think about today as you get ready to head out of church in a moment. And maybe you're here and you realize, you know what, my mission is to center my heart and what he wants to accomplish through me in his church for the glory of God. And if you're here and you're not a part of our family, I want to invite you to take a step of action that way. Say, you know what, I understand. I align my thoughts with what God's mission is for me. I connect myself into what he wants to accomplish through me. Look on, though, because in the next verse, verse 33, all of a sudden, he makes sure they don't miss this. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own need and to the men who were with me. And everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had knelt down, and when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. And they began to weep aloud, embraced Paul, and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the words which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him all the way to the ship. I'm going to tell you what Paul says here that's so important. When we start working hard and giving everything, it shapes our whole mission. When we start working hard to accomplish what he intends, when we start giving ourselves away. And it's interesting because he interjects into here one simple phrase that's directly linked to Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And he's not talking about just material things because he's already told him, you know what? I did my own deal. I took care of my own need. You didn't have any responsibility with that. But what he's talking about is our lives, our mission, being able to say, Lord, I want to experience this. And when you look at that, those verses, when you start realizing what he's really trying to say is you all don't miss discovering his purpose for your life. That's what he's really trying to say. Because watch this carefully. Our pursuit of his purpose is discovered when we learn how to commit our hearts and lives in diligence. And in diligent of ways to say, you know what, I don't want to miss you. I want to make sure I have this very clearly defined by you. And when we get diligent about things, all of a sudden, we become effectual and obedient servants and sacrificial in our lives. Because what happens is when I begin to work hard, I'm going to tell you what I love what Paul says here. There's no excuse to hold back when he calls you to do something. There's no excuse when he calls you to energize your life. There's no excuse to miss experiencing what he intended. So today I want to ask you a question. It says here at the end, they began to weep because it was the last time they would see him. And I want you to ask yourself this question. What is it that brings you to tears? What is it that makes you weep? And I'm going to tell you, for me, it's someone who's lived their mission. Someone who has lived out what God intended for their life. And it's not always defined by what the world thinks. But it's always defined by what God thinks. I'm going to tell you, when you learn that way, you step into your mission and you experience his best. My question for you is simply this. Will you step into your mission? Will you step up to experience what God intends? If you do, I can tell you this. He will do an amazing and powerful work inside of your life. Because your mission is the big picture of all he ever intends to do in your life. Your vision is defined by different things you do in the midst of all that. But your mission, Paul knew something. His mission was to declare the kingdom of God to every person he encountered. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing word that speaks to our hearts and lives. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to respond to you. Thank you that we can bring a cup of cold water in your name. Thank you that we can yield in your presence to experience what you intend. Thank you that we can allow you to speak to our hearts in amazing and powerful ways. Thank you that when we come into your house, we experience who you are. And Lord, there may be someone here who knows something to align their mission in life with what you died for, the church, is key to everything. And so, Lord, if there's someone here who needs to become a part of our family, I pray, Lord, you speak to their hearts, move in their lives, and let them experience what you intend. Lord, bless this moment as we respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.